I was talking to a friend this week, and I told them what I was going to be preaching about today. And there was a long silence on the other end of the phone. And my friend finally said, "Well, you've done it. You've lost the rest of your marbles. Why in the world would you preach about this?" And I said, "Because there is hope. Because if we stand a chance of hope staying alive as a nation, it's going to come from people just like the people sitting in my pews, sitting in your pews, sitting in these pews. People who are Republican and Democrat and Green and Independent and Socialist. And we're all sitting here together because we can agree on how we want to be in the world. And if there's hope for our world, it's in people just like us reaching across all kinds of aisles to say we can do this together." So I started out thinking, how do you talk about patriotism and nationalism? And then I realized everybody talks about this. I put on some music, one of my favorite artists, Stephen Van Zandt, Little Stephen. And I was listening to him sing, "I'm a Patriot." And that song grabs you right here. I'm a patriot, and I love my country because my country is all I know. I want to be with my family, people who are near me. I've got nowhere else to go. I'm not a communist. I'm not a capitalist. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not an imperialist. I only know one party, and that's freedom. I'm a patriot. Bob Dylan decided to rewrite the words of Samuel Johnson and said, "Patriot's the last refuge to which a scoundrel clings. Steal a little bit and they throw you in jail. Steal a lot and they make you king." So they had some kind of opposed ideas on what patriotism was. Stephen Decatur said, "Our country, in her intercourse with foreign nations, may she always be in the right, but right or wrong, our country." G.K. Chesterton said, "My country, right or wrong, is a thing that no patriot would think of saying." It's like saying, "My mother, drunk or sober." Of course she is. So what? We have seven principles that we look at as Unitarian Universalists as guiding us. They're not rules or laws. They just point us in the right direction and sometimes nudge us really hard. None of them include the words patriotism or nationalism, but they do include a call to a unified world, a world that works well together. They call us to a responsible search for truth and meaning and for the support of democracy. And to live up to these principles, we have to understand the ideas of patriotism and nationalism, because when they go wrong, you're left with a nation which is not capable of democracy. As you've heard this morning, they're not the same thing, even though the words get bandied about. It breaks down to nationalists believing that they are superior in whatever the aspect is, their culture, their ethnicity, their white centricism. Their interests are so much more important than everyone else. They're often afraid of people who don't share their same ideas. They devalue people who are different. White supremacists and Nazis proudly claim the title of nationalism publicly. I was horrified back in October when our president claimed that title, and I will only say in his defense, I am not certain that he understands what the word means. I'm just simply not certain of that. I don't know if he knows the history or if it was a good sounding word. but he did claim it publicly. Patriots are more encompassing in their love of country. We're a big country, and patriotism can look a lot of ways. Our patriotism often has roots in freedom, opportunity, boundless hope. Charles de Gaulle said, "Patriotism is when love of your own country comes first. Nationalism, when hate for other people comes first." So are we patriots or nationalists? Well, that depends. First, we have to decide how we feel about that American exceptionalism. I know before I hit grade school, this was much more strongly hit. Americans, pioneer spirit, first everywhere. We were basically cowboys waving a flag. American eagles may have followed us everywhere we went. We were the first, the best, the strongest, the smartest. We went to the moon. By God, America was called out somehow by the divine. We had a unique role in the entire shaping of the world. You know, we've gotten over that a little. American exceptionalism is the idea that we have a mission and a character that somehow separates us from everybody else. This shapes everything we do, and it is still present in our political discussions. Someone recently said, "The United States plays a unique role as the world's anchor of liberal ideas." I've always wondered, where do we think we got that role? Did somebody show up and pin a ribbon on us? Policeman to the world, unique anchor. If we were a person, somebody would smack us upside the head and tell us to stop thinking we're such a special snowflake. It makes us think that America's problems and divisions are distinctive. And so, we can't learn anything from anyone else because we're the best. They can't teach us anything. And what that means is you can present us as a nation with lots of ideas that are actually quite a bit better. And we can explain why, no, that wouldn't work here. Exceptionalism says we have a messianic mission to promote liberty and democracy, and that we are called to colonize, to take control of things we originally didn't own. It's wrong-headed, and it's unfortunate. It complicates the task of building global coalition to actually defend freedom and democracy. And there is an urgent need for this kind of coalition, for that work of building one world. Around the world, democracy is under some threat. China is a one-party state. It will soon have the world's biggest economy. The United States needs that one world. And rhetoric about our exceptionalism, our special snowflakery, doesn't help build alliances. It undermines our capacity to deal with democratic governance. We can't manage internal divisions without crushing liberties. That's a challenge. Countries like India have had to deal with this for centuries. We can learn from other countries, but nationalist rhetoric makes this hard. We have to adopt a new point of view. Call it unexceptionalism. An attitude that acknowledges the commonalities around this planet. But if our country isn't unique, if our role isn't to be the policeman of the world and the anchor of the world, then what is our role in? How do patriotism and nationalism fit in? How does UUism fit in? I venture to guess most people in this room grew up hearing the Pledge of Allegiance recited every day of your life. And I don't know about you, but patriotism still means something to me. I still stand up when the national anthem plays. And I firmly admit when the Budweiser Clydesdales did the 9/11 commercial, I sat there with tears running down my face to see that flag fly. My family has served in the military for generations. I love the United States. But patriotism isn't just love for your country, but it's the ability to do critique. It's the ability to see her slip hanging out and to tell her to tuck it in and pull it up. It's social justice. It's the ability to say, we got to fix this stuff. We got to put a Band-Aid on the boo-boo and get the big wounds sutured and fixed. That's patriotism. Constructive criticism of the government, critique, protest, active participation in the life of the government. Nationalism has been referred to as patriotism on steroids. And there are days I'd say it's worse. It's patriotism on methamphetamine. It's patriotism which has gone wild. It can approach a form of idolatry where the worship of both God and nation are woven together until you can't pull them apart. There are churches where the pastor preaches with the Christian flag on one side and the American flag on the other. Most recently, you could see nationalism of this kind when a pastor of a large evangelical megachurch called anyone who criticized the U.S. invasion of Iraq a traitor. That takes us right back to that place where we are exceptional and called out by God. This gives us permission to do almost anything because we have God's blessing, therefore. And that's just not right. But patriotism calls us to a higher ethic. It calls us to ideals of freedom of religion, freedom of speech, a system of justice with equity. These are the best ideals of our nation. These are the things that we are called as Unitarian Universalists. No matter what political party we follow, these are the things we are called to stand up for. This statement pops up now and again all over the internet and is quoted often. When patriots wave the flag, they are fully aware that it symbolizes and represents wonderful ideals, but not every decision and action our government makes. When nationalists wave the flag, they are using it as an idol to sanctify whatever America does. Patriotism takes pride in the nation's history, but it looks forward to the nation's future. It's where Unitarian Universalists can do their work. Nationalism looks to the past and it defends everything the nation has done, regardless of morality. I like history, and I went looking for this sermon, and I found a lovely piece of German nationalist propaganda. Hermann Göring said this. He was chief of Nazi propaganda in Hitler's Third Reich. The people can always be brought to the bidding of its leader. Tell them they are being attacked. They are in danger. Then denounce the peacemakers for their lack of patriotism and for exposing the nation to danger. This works the same way in any nation, even in a democracy. I thought, wow, that sounds familiar and a little too close for comfort. There's a caravan of desperate desperados heading for our borders, fleeing crushing poverty and drug gang violence, We're being attacked. We're being invaded. The sky is falling. We're in danger. Run for your lives. I would rather choose patriotism, and I call you to choose patriotism and truth over nationalism, over fear. Each of you are called by our UU ancestors, by our polity, to live your values in the world. You're called to live responsibly rather than to claim proudly some false superiority. You're called to unexceptionalism. You're called to be part of a one world government, one world planet. It's great to sing America the Beautiful. America is beautiful. But don't ignore our faults and our flaws. Social justice is the lifeblood that corrects the problems. Be proud of our country. Critique her every day. Do the intersectional work of justice. Know that this is the purest form of patriotism. We are not alone. That is beautiful. May we and every nation join together in one world dedicated to peace, justice, equity, beauty, dedicated to making a place for every voice to be heard, dedicated to lighting that lamp beside the golden door again. But it's going to take human hands to do this work, and those hands are your hands. Those hands are your Republican and Democrat and socialist, independent and green hands reaching across aisles, holding on to your values. Those hands are all of us together, not nationalists isolated behind a wall, but patriots proud of our country and ready to make her shine. Amen.